Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
I want to thank you for being here. If you're joining us online, thank you so much for joining us today. If you're a guest, my name is Trey. I am the pastor here, and boy, it feels great, again, like last week, to be back in the room with you. It feels fantastic to just all be back together. If you're online, man, we're so glad that you chose to join us. We're in the middle of a series that we are calling Influencers, and if you've been around Wellspring, you know we're talking about social media. And last week, we kind of pressed pause on this series, and today we're gonna re-engage. But I think it's very important for me to make one thing clear. We've been saying it for the last couple of weeks, because sometimes there's a tendency in church that if we're talking about something, you can assume we're talking about it because it's bad or because it's wrong or because it's broken and we shouldn't do it. And so that is not at all the way we feel about social media. We've been saying the entire time, we believe social media is an incredibly valuable tool. I think it might be kind of the defining tools of the 21st century. It's giving a voice to the voiceless. It's allowing people to have platforms to make change. I use social media. Our church uses social media. We love social media. In fact, we love it so much, and we think it is so valuable, and we think there's so much good that we're spending a few weeks talking about some of the potential pitfalls, some of the problems, some of the things that could get us snagged. And it's why we want to talk about it so much, because we think if we can get this right, man, there is no limit to what, especially for those of us who believe in Jesus, there is no limit to what God can do through us through this platform. But the cool thing about this series is I believe this series is beneficial to everyone. It's beneficial whether you believe in Jesus, whether you don't believe in Jesus, whether you used to believe in Jesus and now you're not so sure about Jesus. Everyone can benefit from this series on social media, because what we've talked about for the last few weeks is that there are some pitfalls. There are some problems with social media. There are some issues that people run into from time to time. And those issues are the fact that, number one, when it comes to social media is run by billion-dollar companies who are trying to manipulate our behavior. Like, that just is what it is. There's this new documentary on Netflix right now called The Social Dilemma. I know some people have seen that. I want you to know that I taught this content before the documentary came out. I did not see that documentary and feel compelled to teach about it. It's very important. But it's true. They are manipulating our behaviors. And again, businesses have been manipulating our behaviors from the beginning of time. It's just we need to be aware that it's happening. We've also talked about some of the pitfalls of trying to have conversations on social media, some of the problems of trying to have dialogue, and there are some steps we can take. And so if you've missed any of this series, man, I'm going to highly encourage you, if you don't have it already, grab our app, download it, because you can go back and you can see where we've been, because we're going to keep moving forward today, because there's a question we've been asking about this topic. There's a question we've been asking about social media, and there's a question we've been wrestling with, and this is really the key that's going to propel us today. And the question is this: when it comes to social media, am I bringing my influence to it, or am I being influenced by it? And again, this question matters whether you believe in God, whether you don't believe in God, whether you have a relationship with Jesus, whether you're checking things out. We all should know what is happening with our influence, because our influence is our voice, and our voice is who we are. And so it's good for us all to stop. It's all to pause for something as ubiquitous as social media. Every person, like over 90% of adults and people in this room are on social media in some way or the other. It is so crucial for us to ask, okay, am I bringing my influence to this? Am I bringing who I am? Am I bringing my character? Am I being myself on this? Or am I being manipulated? Am I being taken advantage of? Am I being shaped in some way that maybe I'm not aware of? And so that's the question we've been asking for the last few weeks. And then last week, if you were with us, you heard why, if you consider yourself a Christian, why this question is so important for us to ask. It's because as a Christian, we believe not only that Jesus saved our life, we believe he has then entrusted us with that message to carry to a world that needs it. And living in the 21st century, we have a platform, social media, to spread that message in a way no one else has ever had. The church has never had the ability to spread a message like we do. And so it's never been more important to make sure we are bringing our influence, not simply being influenced by social media. So how do we do that? How do we make sure we bring our influence to it? That's what we're going to talk about for the next 2 weeks. And to kind of get us going today, I actually want to go back. because this isn't the first time I taught about social media. Actually, 6 years ago, we did a series, and we called it Tweet This, Not That. Very clever, I thought. Tweet This, Not That. And that entire series kind of revolved around a pretty simple idea that we're going to bounce off of today. It's a pretty simple idea that actually in my home we still talk about. It still has relevance. We still bring it up from time to time. If you were here 6 years ago and you engaged with social media, you may remember this, because my entire goal that series was simple. When we engage with social media, it was to get us to do this, to simply pause before we post. Just pause for 5 seconds before we tweet, before we like, before we share, before we DM, before we snap, before we TikTok, before we Instagram. Just pause for a moment, because in that pause can make the difference between us bringing influence or being influenced. And if you were around 6 years ago, when we talked about this topic, I gave you some questions to ask while we paused. And next week, we're going to actually talk about some questions I believe is beneficial to all of us in the room, but specifically those of us that would call ourselves Christians, to ask while we are pausing. But today, before we even get to what we should do while we pause, I want us to talk about why it's important we pause in the first place. Because here's the reality. Because I feel this way, and many of you probably feel this way as well. When I talk about pausing before you post on social media, your brain says, well, yeah, that's really good for immature people to do. Like, that's really good. I'm so glad my teenager's here. They need to hear pause before they post. I'm really glad you're talking about this with the students. They need to hear pause before you post. But I'm mature. I'm a grown-up. I understand this. I don't really have to pause. I have a filter tray. And I understand why you would say that. I would say the very same thing, which is why we're not going to talk about my words today. Today we're going to have someone else speak up. Someone else is going to encourage us, no matter where we are in life, to consider pausing before we engage on this platform where everything we do is written in pen forever. He's going to say, hey, I'm going to highly encourage you, all of us in the room, think about pausing. And today we're going to talk about a man named James. Some of you may be familiar with James. James was an early leader of the church, but he was a latecomer to Christianity because James was Jesus' little brother. And while Jesus was on earth, James did not believe in his big brother. It wasn't until his big brother died and came back to life where James says, oh, he really is perfect, and decided to become a Christian, put faith in his big brother, and became a leader of the early church. And James writes one letter. It's found in our New Testament, and he writes it to Christians, and he writes it to Christians encouraging them and teaching them how to follow his big brother. And in the third chapter of this letter, it's as if James could look 2,000 years into the future. It's as if he could see a moment where we would all be living with the ability to have a platform to speak to hundreds, thousands, even millions. And into that moment he speaks and he says, be careful. Pause before you post. Why, James? Why should we pause? That is what he's going to show us today. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to James chapter 3. It's not, we're going to be up here on the screen. Because he begins with a pretty interesting statement. And he begins with a statement that most of us in the room are going to think disqualifies us from listening to anything else he's going to say, because of the way he phrases the beginning statement. But I want to read it to you, then I want to explain to you what he's actually saying. Because he opens this way, he says, dear brothers and sisters, he's writing to men and women who have put their faith in his big brother. And he says, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Now see, on the face of it, what he's saying is, not many of you should aspire to positions of power and influence in the church. You shouldn't try to speak on behalf of my big brother, because if you do, people are going to scrutinize you more. They are going to look more. They are going to ask more questions. You will be held to a higher standard. And that is true. It is true of me. It is true of our team. It is true of any person who wants to get up and speak on God's behalf. We will be held to a higher standard, not by God, but by the people listening. It's just human nature. It's what we do. But I don't think this verse excludes all of us. Because what I really think James is saying is, when he's saying not many of you should want to be teachers, what he's really saying is not many of you should want to become influencers. Not many of you should want a platform. Not many of you should want to be famous. Not many of you should want many people to hear your words and to read them. Because if you do, don't worry, you will be judged more strictly for them. He's saying, hey, the bigger the platform, the more people are going to scrutinize every single word you say. And we know this. We know this to be true. We've seen it happen. We have seen the athletes. We have seen actors. We have seen politicians. We have seen the people get famous, get a platform, get notoriety, and then something they tweeted 8 years ago, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, takes them down. They get suspended. They get fired. And what James is simply saying is, hey, guys, it's been this way for 2,000 years. There's no difference. There's no change. If you want a platform, if you want people to listen, they're going to listen. And they're going to scrutinize. And they're going to check. Because increased influence leads to increased inspection every time. You do it. I do it. We all do it. We're in the political season right now, and they talk about vetting candidates. Vetting a candidate means you dig into their background to see if there's anything embarrassing. You know when you vet the candidate? Right before they take the stage and get on the platform. You don't vet somebody 5 years before, because who's going to know? You vet before the platform. And what James is trying to say for me and for you and for all of us, now that we have been given this ability to have this platform where we can speak to anyone and everyone, he's just saying, hey, be careful. Be careful. Don't forget. Be mindful. Be mindful of the fact that if you step onto that platform, the more people that are listening, the more people are going to scrutinize and the more open you are to attack. And you say, well, James, why would I be attacked? Who's going to attack me? And James jumps right in for you, and he says this. He says, because we all indeed make many mistakes. I love the fact that James says we here. He doesn't say you make mistakes. He says we make mistakes. Again, James's mom probably never let him live down the fact that he didn't believe in his big brother until his big brother died and came back to life. So he's probably writing from a pace of little passive aggressive. We all make mistakes, right, Mom? But he's leaning in and he's saying, hey guys, we're gonna make mistakes here. See, James isn't being a judgy judgerson. He's not judging us. He's saying, hey, look, we've all got to be open and honest with ourselves, especially those of us that aspire to influence, that want to have a large following online, that want a bigger platform. He's saying, be careful, because people are going to watch and they're going to listen and they're going to check. And you just need to know, you are going to make mistakes. I make mistakes. We all make mistakes. And again, we want to say, yeah, but I think I can do it. I think I can figure it out. I think I'm going to be okay. And James says, you can't, and here's why. For if, again he says we, could control our tongues, we will be perfect. And could also control ourselves in every other way. Again, we, James is saying, look, if I could just control my mouth, I could be perfect. Again, he's not saying we could be perfect. He's saying controlling what we say 24/7, 365 is the hardest thing we do. And if we could ever truly gain the ability to control our words every single moment of every single day, we could be perfect because everything else would be easier by comparison. See, what James is really doing is tapping into a common human emotion, regret over something we've said. How many of you have ever said something you regret saying? How many of you like to lie in church? Of course, right? We have regrets over things we say. Am I the only one that can be in the middle of a conversation, can say something, not only do I immediately regret it, I don't know where it came from. I've never thought that thought before. I don't believe it then, and I'm not going to think it later. They're like, yeah, but you said it. I'm like, I don't know why. I don't know where that came from. And James says, I'll tell you why. Because we can't tame our tongues. If we could, we'd be perfect in every way. James is saying, we can't do it. And I know in some degree it's like, okay, well, great. Even James couldn't contain his tongue. He couldn't control his words. I can't control my words, but really, they're just words. It's not that big a deal. I don't know why we're talking about this. You know, sticks and stones may break my bones. Words will never hurt me, Trey. You know that. I know that. And James is like, really? That's really what you think? Okay. He gives us three word pictures to illustrate the power of words. First, he says, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. He's talking about riding horses. Teeny tiny little bit placed over the tongue directs the entire horse. Tiny piece, full control. He gives another word picture. He says, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. Again, same word picture. Tiny, tiny little rudder, huge ship steers the direction. And then he brings it home to us, and he says this, and he says, in the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. Speeches that change the world. I have a dream. Ask not what your country can do for you. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. We fully understand the power of words when spoken to us. What James is inviting all of us to understand, whether we believe in God or not, is the power of words when they move through us. Power of words that flow out of us. And how powerful are those words? Well, here's what James says. A tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Unless you think we are exaggerating, how many people do you know in your life, either personally or from culture, who have had their lives set on fire? Completely set ablaze by one word, one post, one tweet, one like, one snap, one DM. Just one. Didn't take two, didn't take three, didn't take four. One. One word. You know people in your life, I know people in my life. Worlds turned upside down by a word. So James would say, no. Don't try to fool yourselves. Don't try to believe words don't matter. Don't try to believe words don't have value. We got a problem, guys. We can't tame our tongues. We say things we don't even mean. And we say them all the time. And words have power. And words have influence. And words can shape things. And so again, whether you believe in God or not, we have to be aware of our words. But if you do believe in God, if you do believe in Jesus, there's even another piece that matters because we are technically supposed to be speaking on his behalf. And you're like, James, okay, I get it. And James is like, I don't quite think you do. So let me explain it a little more. He says, among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It's a whole world of wickedness. Good morning. Glad you came to church today. Corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. He just explained why we can't tame our tongue. See, we have an enemy. His name is Satan, and he wants to sin. In fact, he wants to destroy your life. And you know what he discovered? It is much easier to tempt us to say something than it is to tempt us to do something. I am much more likely to say something I regret than I am to do something I regret. Because to do something, well, I got to think about that. I don't know what's going to happen. Say something, free for all. Because they're just words. They're just words. See, we can't tame our tongue because it is the easiest thing our enemy has access to. Because all it takes is that. Where do you think that thought came from you've never thought before until you said it and immediately regretted it? And what James is saying is, okay, guys, this has been true for thousands of years. This is true in my life, this is true in your life, this is true in all of your lives. And we are now dealing with a platform where you can say whatever you want to whoever you want. It can be read by whoever wants to read it, and it's there forever. So maybe, before we engage in this life-altering platform, we should take a step back and pause. And I know because James wrote it, and I know James wrote it because God wanted him to write it, and he wanted him to write it because he knew there was going to be somebody who heard this and who still thought, not me, you don't get it. I've got this. I've got to figure it out. I can handle myself. Man, I am calm. I am patient. I am cool as a cucumber. I never lose my temper. I have figured it out, Trey. I can tame my tongue. And here's what James would say back. He'd say, hey, people can tame all kinds of animals. They can tame birds. They can tame reptiles. They can tame fish. But no one can tame the tongue. It's restless and evil, full of deadly poison. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you may think you can tame it. And you may have it tamed for a moment. But if you and me and all of us continue to live 24/7, 365, unfiltered on a platform that is written in ink, it will come untamed. And we will post or share or snap or DM or like something that we regret. And the ramifications will be more powerful than we ever imagined because a tiny spark can ignite a flame. Now again, this is helpful content whether you believe in Jesus or not. You've lived this. You've experienced this. You understand this. So just pause. Listen to Jesus' little brother and try it this week and discover that God's way is good and God's way is true. And then you may begin to discover that the other things we say about God is true. And eventually you may choose to place your faith in Jesus as well. That's why our church exists. But for those of us that do call ourselves Christians and that have placed our faith in him, there's another reason this matters so much. I talked about it a little bit earlier. Last week we talked about the fact that God has entrusted us with a message. And living in the 21st century, he has given us a platform to disseminate that message. But we can't tame our tongues. We are unable to do it, and that will lead to a problem that you've experienced and I've experienced and we've all experienced and that James is going to make clear right now. Here's what he says. Sometimes, talking about the tongue, it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. And you know it's not right. And I know it's not right. James knows it's not right. But he knows it's going to happen, which is why he says, hey, pause. Be careful. Because you know who those words matter to the most? It's not us. It's not the people who would even attend a church. It's not the people who would consider themselves Christ followers. It's the people that will consider themselves outsiders to the things of God. Those that would consider themselves outside of the church who are looking in and who are making their decisions about our Savior on us. And they see out of the same mouth come praise and curses. And then they bring up everyone's favorite critique of Christians. They're all a bunch of hypocrites. And you know what James is saying? We are hypocrites. We are, guys. We're going to have bad moments. We're going to have bad days. We're going to have bad opinions. That's why Jesus saved us. That's why he's perfect and we're not. We're going to have both bad moments. So just be quiet about it. You don't have to tell everyone every time you're upset. We know it. We can see it on your face. He's saying, guys, for those of us who are claiming to speak for Jesus, to go back to the beginning, be careful of the platform you seek. Because if you're seeking a platform to share about your Savior, but instead everything you do in the platform is revealed in untamed tongue and praise and curses coming out of the same mouth, you're just going to have a lot of confused people. And it'd be easy to say, all right, so then what do we do? What do we do? Do we take James up on his offer and just say, not aspire to influence? No. That's not his point. He's not saying don't aspire to influence. He's saying count the cost of influence. Count the cost of living at a time where we have been given a gift to disseminate information to more people more accurately, with more clarity than has ever existed in human history. That sits in our hands. And he's saying, this is a gift for you. And if you'll trust my big brother, he'll help you use it. And if you don't, just like me, just like all of us, we're going to make mistakes. And that platform could be gone. So, all right, so James, so what do we do? And James will say, well, I already told you. See, this is chapter 3. I told you what to do in chapter 1. This is just me explaining how to do it. And here's what he said in chapter 1. He said, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Specifically on social media, engage. Listen, listen. Be quick to listen. Be quick to understand, but be slow to speak. Be slow to tweet. Be slow to share. Be slow to like. Be slow to snap. Be slow to DM. Be slow to respond. What's he saying we should all do? We should pause before we post. You know why? Because sometimes we say things we don't mean. Sometimes we say things we regret. Sometimes we can't control our words. So what James is saying is, for all of us, but especially if you believe in my big brother, pause in humility because you understand that words are powerful. Pause in humility because you understand emotions are strong, and pause in humility because you understand your influence is finite. We do not have an unlimited supply of influence. And once we've lost it, boy, is it hard to get back. So we pause. We pause because we are admitting that we can't tame our tongues. And you know why we can't tame our tongues? Here's what James says. It's because human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Now, are 100% of our responses online that are negative human anger? No, but like 99.8. 99 point. The other 0.2% he could say human greed, human selfishness, human jealousy, human envy. None of those things are going to produce the response you want, I want, any of us want, and we've lived it. And I know you know that because you don't like it when other people do it as well. And what James is saying is, hey, you can try as hard as you can, but eventually you are going to post in anger and post out of jealousy and post out of rage and post out of selfishness. You're going to do it because we can't tame it. We can't do it, so be quick to listen, be slow to speak. Just pause for a moment. Just slow down. And this is where we're going to pick up next week. Next week, what do? While we slow down? We do this. We get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives. That sounds easy, right? We can all do that in about an afternoon. Get rid of all the filth and evil in our lives. No, this is what it means to be a Christian. What it means to be a Christian is to not only give our lives to Jesus, it's then to invite him into our lives, to walk with him forever as he removes more and more of our selfishness and our jealousy and our anger, and he replaces it with his love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. That's what it means to be a Christian. And so what I'm really saying is we pause in that moment because our words could be tainted. Our words could be wrong. Jesus' words are perfect every single time. So we pause to let him speak because we can admit we live in a broken world with broken thoughts and a broken heart on a broken platform in search of a perfect Savior. So how do we invite him in to that moment? We make space for him to speak. And that begins with me deciding and you deciding and us all deciding in advance right now that when it comes to social media, we will pause before we post. We'll just pause. We'll just pause to invite him in. We'll just pause to let him speak. Next week, we're going to talk about what we do while we pause. But for this week, just invite God in to the moments of social media. Invite him to remind you to pause. Invite him to bring to mind moments from the past you regret where you wish you had paused. Pause before you sent that post, before you liked, before you shared, before you snapped. And it's not to bring it up to make you feel bad. It's to bring it up to help you know you can avoid that regret moving forward when you invite your Heavenly Father in. So this week, just try. Maybe set a time limit. Maybe give yourself a 5-minute period between reading something and posting. Let's be honest. 30-minute period between reading something and posting something. Just try it. Again, that's not biblical. That's just try. Just try 30 minutes. Because here's what I'll tell you. If it won't matter in 30 minutes, why would you write it in ink for all the world to see? What might your Heavenly Father be able to do in that 5, 10, 30 minutes? As we pause humbly before him and say, thank you for this platform you've given me to share your message. I humbly admit I can't always tame my thoughts and my emotions, so Father, I'm going to pause in this moment. I'm going to be slow to speak in this moment. And I'm going to invite you in. Next week, we're going to talk about what to look for when you invite him in. This week, just ask him to give you the strength to pause. And ask him to open your eyes to the wisdom of allowing him, not us, to tame the untamable. To begin to speak through us, to spread his message to the world around us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just love you so much. We are so thankful for the gift of your Son and the gift of the wisdom he brings to make every area of our life better. Father, I pray today that you will not only open our eyes to the power of our words, the power of our platform, the power of our influence, but that you will teach us to hold it loosely, to hold it softly, and to invite you in. God, this week, give us the ability to pause, to invite you into the moment. And Father, as we pause and you come in, may we see the wisdom and may we see the beauty of using our influence to share your message, the message that has changed our lives and the message that will change the world. We love you, Father. It's in your Son's amazing holy name we pray. Amen.